Town Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
916. Hey, guys. This team is such a one-trick pony with the threes. Now we're shooting more of them. We need to score in other ways, and the team is not constructed that way. We have issues moving forward. Thanks. That is from Jeff in the 916. Yeah, that's what we're going to break down at 11:30 with the guys for the Kings Roundtable. What could a counterpunch be? What could a counterpunch be? Or is this just who they are? It is the age-old question from this season, and without Malik Monk, who can handle the basketball and cut through and knife through the defense, we've seen Davion do it a little bit, but you just don't really have guys like that, and that's not how they're constructed. I said last night, Chris, and I really want to talk to the Sactown Sports Kings insiders about this. I said, hey, Mike came from the Warriors. Why are there no wrinkles when it comes to back cutting and things like that? People said to me, well, it's because they're crowding the paint.
Mm.
And my question is, are we saying that teams didn't crowd the paint on the Warriors?
Yeah, knowing
definitely. That they were shooting threes?
Absolutely.
So yeah. I don't know that that's a good excuse. For,
well, they're crowding the paint, so the cuts aren't there.
But the Kings don't cut anyway.
Because the paint is packed.
So, but I'm saying, just period, they don't.
Yeah. I mean, they don't, yeah, they don't have a lot of guys who kind of have it, like Sasha is a cutter, Colby's a cutter.
Herter
will cut as a counter.
I'm just trying to figure out what, when we're taking so many calls, we're taking so many texts that say, do something different when the threes aren't falling. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what it is they could do.
I would just say it's probably not going to change. I think that this is kind of what teams, not only pro team, but like this is how you get upsets in the tournament too. Mm-hmm. Like I think the Kings are kind of playing the numbers game right now because they don't have Malik Monk, who scores 15 points and gets 5 assists per game. That's what, something near 25 points mm-hmm. per game that you're just kind of missing in terms of points created. And I think the way of making that up, I mean, the Kings took a ton of threes, but they made 20, and OKC made 9. So that's, quick math, 27 points that the Kings gained in an advantage from the three-point line, and they still only scored 105 points. So I think that that's kind of the Kings' way of making up for not having their third-best scorer is we kind of have to play a little bit of the three-point variance game, and you see what happens. In the first half, you look incredible. You're up, 19 points, and all the threes are falling. But the thing about three-point variance is it's going to slide back to – there's a natural regression that happens when you're hitting that many threes. So, I mean, yeah, you could say, hey, if you're – I don't know. I mean, I just think it's kind of tough, the situation that they're in, because I do think you see the amount of threes that they've taken since Malik went down. Kings are first in the NBA the last 7 games, i.e. since Malik has been out of the lineup in threes per game. They're at 44.7. Boston's at number 2 at 42.9. The Kings are shooting 37% from three. Boston's shooting 36. So I just kind of think that this is the team that they're going to be to try and make up for the scoring load that they don't have. Missing Herter and Malik, that's a lot of points that you can't just make up playing the two-point game. Like, I think that it's kind of a necessary evil because they don't have the scoring punch that they had before. They almost have to rely on, we might get hot from three tonight.
Right. But I think the other thing is when they cool off,
sure.
Is there anything else they can do? And maybe the simple answer is, if it's not a good answer, it might not be a good answer.
Because
but
who's attacking the rim? Davion. Who are the guys? Davion Mitchell has been fantastic at attacking the rim here recently. It's De'Aaron, it's Davion, and it's Sabonis. I mean, Keegan had a Euro step yesterday,
yeah.
But he's not really a half-court drive-to-the-lane kind of guy. HB, he can get to the free throw line. He did that great yesterday, but he was 1 of 8. Trey Lyles was 1 of 7 yesterday. Davion definitely had a rough first half. Keon pretty much is all perimeter-centric at this point. That's also the thing, is they don't have the personnel. You mentioned Kevin is a good cutter. That's somebody who scores in the two-point range. Malik, he's somebody who's got a floater game. He attacks the rim, has crazy finishes. Again, missing those two guys this is the impact of it. This is what they are. The Kings, like it or not, they have shooters on their team. They might not be shooting like shooters, but Keon is a guy who's going to get a lot of his points from beyond the arc. Keegan from beyond the arc. HB from beyond the arc. Trey Lyles from beyond the arc. I think that they're leaning into the personnel that they have available, and I don't know if the personnel that they have, which you could argue this brings the ball back into Monty McNair's court, I just don't know if they have the personnel really to do what everyone wants them to do. Sure, De'Aaron maybe can take 8 less threes and turn those into 8 drives. That would definitely help. But ultimately, I think De'Aaron is probably one of the 3 best 3-point shooters on this team right now. So you can't kind of take him away from the perimeter either.
Yeah, Folsom Mike on the text line is saying just shoot mid-ranges, is higher percentage.
That's the least efficient shot in basketball.
Right. I guess it's more about when the threes go cold. But to that point, it's Keegan and that's De'Aaron.
But then what if the mid-ranges don't go down? That's the assumption that all the mid-ranges are going to be made.
Yeah.
Like, if you start missing mid-ranges, then it's like, why didn't you just take the 3?
There are 3 games left, right? So the idea of, hey, guys, we're already playing with a bunch of dudes that didn't really get that much time anyway.
Yeah.
Now let's add these wrinkles into the offense. So I guess we got to be a little bit realistic here. Here's the thing. Maybe it's just not the most aesthetically pleasing basketball when they go ice cold. I think that's one thing with the fans and the listeners that I'm trying to encapsulate. It just looks like bad basketball.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, your dad or whoever, your uncle, your grandpa, whoever, they would hate this basketball.
Yes, absolutely.
OGs hate this basketball. Yeah. And I don't think next season it will look like this. No. It just might have to look like this for the next 3 games and however many games they play after that because of the situation. Phone lines heating up. Let's get to Skip, who's been waiting. What's up, Skip? What you got for us?
Well, just a couple of things. There's a couple of X factors that maybe need to be talked about a little bit. And one is conditioning. Mm-hmm. I know when I played basketball in high school, that was number one was conditioning. But how about a little more help on the right side? We got left-handers out there. De'Aaron goes in and drives the lane. Mm-hmm. He'll either drive it going across from the right to the left or drive it from the left straight to the basket. And then he makes his moves wherever he has to make it. They need a little more help going in on the right side. So you got some right-handers there. I think Ellis could do it. Mm-hmm. And definitely, but, you know, the left-handers, you got Monk, you got Sabonis, you got Fox. Who else on that team is left-handed?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Skip. I don't think Malik Monk
is not left-handed. No, he's not.
I believe, yeah, Sabonis.
Sabonis and Aaron and Sasha are the only left-handed players.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Skip. I think the problem is left or right-handed, you don't have enough options. The offense just isn't dynamic right now because of Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray. That's a huge part of it.
You can throw Trey into there yesterday, at least. Trey's been great.
But he shoots threes. That's what he does. But when two of your starters are essentially just spot up guys, and that you just have too many one sided players as starters. You look at the Thunder last night. Jalen Williams doing a bunch of different stuff. Obviously, you got Shea. You got Chet Holmgren.
Lou Dort hit a couple threes.
Chamber, right? Guys like that. Let's get to Tin, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Tin? What you got for us?
Nothing much. I think that, you know, I wish basketball players took more shots at the rim. Like, we hear more of the clinking. You know what I mean? Like, the ball hitting the rim, mm-hmm. whether it's air ball, balance, backboard, but just more shot attempts. I feel like players dance around too much. Showing off. Not everyone's Kyrie, man. Just chuck up the shots. More shot attempts equal high scoring. Just more fast-paced action. You know, getting into hockey lately, and just the way they pass it and just skate around the rim. You just hear, like, I want to hear some more sound than just dribbling a basketball.
Thanks for the call, Tin. Shout out hockey. I mean, I think that they are playing really fast right now, and the difference is, even though they're playing fast and getting shots up, it's just what type of shots are they getting up. And before we continue, we have to get to our guy, Will. What you got today, Will?
Hey, man, look, that phrase, spray the ball, man, please throw that in the trash. Throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It make no sense. And you guys listen. I mean, Watkins makes a lot of excuse for guys, man. But look, you can't make excuse for these guys. Look, Shea makes referees call fouls for him. Mm-hmm. Fox could do the same thing instead of settling for a 3-point shot. He has to. He's our star. He's our best player. He has to go down there and make sure he get a bucket instead of shooting a 30-foot three. We had plenty of chances to win that game. And then nobody's talking about defense, and we let them – the start of the second half, they came out and shot and hit three threes in a row. It's defense, it's coaching, and it's smarts. You got to have smarts. When you need a bucket, you got to get a bucket. You can't be, you know, just shooting up threes and thinking you're gonna hit them. You have to guarantee yourself a bucket. I mean, Fox has to go in there and make them foul him. He can't be keep pointing at his arm and saying they fouling me. Make them call a foul. I mean, it's pathetic, man. Then HB, I've been telling y'all all year, HB, every now and then he have a good game, but he's pretty much done. And then Sabonis, man, 6 turnovers. He just cannot play against athletic big guys. He have a hard time. He fumbles. He's always on the ground. I mean, forget the triple-doubles, man. When you need a game, you got to win that game. We had to win that game, and we didn't win that game.
Thanks for the call, Will. That's pretty much it. I mean, look, Sabonis has been the guy, and he has been solid. He did not play well last night, but I'm not personally going to hold it against him because you got points from other players. There were just so many issues that happened, and whether it's HB, Keegan, De'Aaron Fox, everybody was a part of it. We'll get into some blame pie. We'll also, and we'll let us right into it as far as the fouls and the fouls that were called on Shea. Also, Chris still has to give us those halftime issues. Why do they happen? Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Chris, please help me. I've been begging to know what is going on at halftime. I've made jokes about orange peels. I've said a lot. You think you have some insight?
I mean, I wouldn't really call it insight. It was really more just it's more of just the shots not falling really was going to be my bigger point, was the fact that they're having the opportunities. It's just for whatever reason, and you could say tired legs. You know, I know one of the callers said maybe it's conditioning. I don't know if that's the case, but there is definitely a very clear difference of the Kings shooting in the first half versus them shooting in the second half. I mean, I'm just looking at the numbers here. They are in the second half here, as my internet dies, of course. They're first, I should say, in first half plus minus in the last 7 games. So at the very least, without Malik Monk, the game plans have not been an issue. That has been a major positive is that they haven't, you know, they haven't just been flat completely. There's something that has gone on. They seem to know what they want to attack early in the games. The problem is the second half just goes completely to crap. And if you look at their second half numbers, yeah, they're 9.4 plus minus in the first half. So usually they're up, or they've been up by a combined 10 points here in the last 7 games. They're shooting 41% in the first half from 3. The problem is all those numbers, I don't know if you want to put fatigue. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that it's lack of adjustments, because the Kings shoot 33% from 3 in the second half, and they are a minus 3.4 in the second half, which is 23rd in the NBA. So they go from being the best first half team in the NBA to the 23rd best or I guess you can say seventh worst team in the second half.
Yeah, what it sounds like to me is that the Kings, and we know who they are right now without Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, it's De'Aaron Fox, it's Sabonis, and it's a lot of role players, right? And we can argue about Keegan and what he's going to be. Right now, to me, Keegan is an above-average role player.
Yes.
And when you have a situation like that, the Kings are really good at the beginning of the game, and it sounds like football, but they're really good on script.
Yeah, right.
When the script, after halftime, the script gets thrown out the window, and players have to make plays. And once the script gets thrown out the window, and it's not behaving the way it has been in the first, i.e., shots falling, things like that, they just don't have it.
Could you also argue that this is what we talked about a lot last year, where maybe first half teams are like, hey, they don't have Malik Monk. This is going to be an easier night. This is not the Kings team that is, you know, the one that we need to be worried about. They kind of get hit in the mouth because they're surprised. I mean, we still see guys going under on Keon Ellis, giving Keon Ellis the open look.
Right.
Maybe it's a bit of they're unfamiliar with our game.
Yeah.
They see it, and then they're like, okay, because I think that's pretty much what Mark Daigneault said yesterday in his post game was, second half, we just kind of had a different defensive intensity, and we locked in and stopped making mistakes. And to me, it just sounds like
respected them.
You treated them like they're an opponent that is one to be afraid of. And it could just be as simple as that the Kings are catching people off guard initially, and you know, as the second half comes, again, it might. I don't think I would blame Mike Brown for this, but they just don't really have another note. They just are like, this is what we are, and if you figure it out, that's what we got. We can't really, we don't have the talent right now to elevate to another level. This is about as good as it gets, and I think you said it earlier with De'Aaron, but I think it's true of the team. If it doesn't come in the first half, it's probably going to come in the second half, and if it comes in the first half, it's probably not going to be there in the second half. So it's just, you know, Mike Brown's going to say it's figuring out how to win for 48 minutes, but I think the problem is, and it's just, we're saying the same thing that we've said all season. Shots stop falling, and all of a sudden, everything goes out the window.
Right, right. And, you know, when it gets tight late in the game, everybody knows it. Yeah. And the other team knows it. Yeah. And the other team knows they're not going to keep shooting like this. Yeah. Okay, do we need to close out a little bit harder? So they do. And whether or not there should be a counterpunch, there just isn't on this team.
Yeah.
The question is, should there be? Let's hear from Coach Mike Brown and what he had to say as far as the calls for Shea versus the Kings and how that kind of dictated the game.
You know, on top of that, the reality of it is, you know, it's right in front of me. SGA traveled. It was a great player, but he traveled, and none of the officials said they saw it. And then, whew, he get 20 free throws. It's going to be tough to beat them. A great player, though. And he, I haven't watched the film. He probably earned every single one of them. But when you got one guy getting 20 free throws, that's a tough thing to overcome. But, the free throw attempts and the no call and the travel are out of our control. The other things and our control. Our turnovers were really bad, and then our hesitancy to spray the basketball and then shoot it as time went on. All those were in our control, and we went away from it.
De'Aaron Fox drove the ball 17 times while shooting 12 threes. SGA drove the ball 30 times while shooting three threes. What are your thoughts as we hear some back and forth about De'Aaron Fox and the, I don't know if it's about the fact that SGA got that many foul calls, or I've seen a lot of people saying there is a lack of foul calls on De'Aaron. And you see De'Aaron during the game point to his arm and things like that.
Yeah, real mad in that third quarter.
Do you think that's overblown, or do you think there's something to De'Aaron not getting enough calls?
I think that there's something to it. I think it is just crazy. I mean, you know, even though De'Aaron had half the drives, he did not have half the free throws, so there's something still wrong there with that math. De'Aaron actually took 17. I think he said 12. He took 17 threes last night. So, I mean, that's – I would just always say 17 is too much, but – And, you know, that's definitely going to, it's the Steph Curry thing. Like, Steph takes a ton of threes, and Warrior fans complain about, oh, Steph never goes to the line. Well, it's because, yeah, you're taking so many perimeter shots that you're not putting consistent pressure and constantly allowing or making the referees make a decision. So, you know, I do also think a big part of it is, you know, how many people are, you know, Darren's got a lot of attention on him. I don't think a lot of people are concerned about Davion hitting that three. I don't think a lot of people are concerned about HB hitting a three or Keon hitting a three. And with Shea, you got to worry about J-Dub. You got to worry about Lou Dort. You just have to worry about other people. I think Darren, especially right now, has way too much attention on him. And so I think it's tough for him to get all the way to the rack too. Of course, he's got the ability. He's got the speed to do it pretty much whenever he wants. But it's really tough when you factor in the fact that everyone's packing the paint against them too. Mm-hmm. And that's just been that's been their kryptonite all year long.
Do you guys think that Mike Brown's going to get fined for what he said?
I don't think so. That's like borderline.
I feel like he tried to save it when he's like, SGA, he traveled. He's a great player, but he traveled. He's a great player.
Well, he said he earned every one.
Yeah.
Which I think will save him.
I feel like he's been getting, I don't know. I feel like he gets fined quite a bit.
But I also feel like, and not to argue, this is how you should go at the refs, but I also feel like a lot of that stuff I would just prefer. We talked about it, and I think it did kind of, did it work when Thibodeau said he's getting fouled, or did the Kings just foul Jalen Brunson? Who knows, because he's just had their number along with a lot of other players' numbers as well, or other teams' numbers
as
well.
It didn't work for the Niners in the Super Bowl, I'll tell you that.
it definitely did not.
Just ask Dante Whitner.
But I guess the question is,
I mean, HB got to the line 10 times.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm trying to say, oh, should he be getting
less integrity,
mad at the refs more during the game versus
he gets
just
pretty upset.
I mean, stuff after the game. Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think I would definitely say, just as a blanket, like, I think De'Aaron taking his three or developing his three, I personally don't think is best for his game. I think on a night like last night, you see how there's a lot of downsides to it, especially because, he knocked down 41% of his threes, which is fantastic. If you do that for an entire year, you're going to be one of the best three-point shooters in the league. But I just don't think that's what De'Aaron Fox is. We've been talking all day about counters. What is a counter? To me, De'Aaron's three should be his counter. That should be a thing that you see five times a game, six max, maybe seven if he's got it going, but to me, I think, like, you don't see Ja Morant pulling a ton of threes. You don't see a lot of these guys who are known for their speed or known for their aggression. Russell Westbrook, you don't know these guys for taking volume. And I think De'Aaron might be falling victim to the fact that, threes are worth more than two and it's more exciting. And, you know, it's tough to get to the rim every time, especially when you're playing 42 minutes. That's really exhausting. But at the same time, I just think that this dude, his bread should be buttered at the rim. Like, he's an elite finisher. Last year at the rim, him and Shea were the only guard non-centers who were above, I think, 60 or 70% at the rim. Like, I think that's where De'Aaron should try and live, and everything should be in the name of getting easier shots at the rim. And it just feels like he's fallen way too in love with the three. And I mean, 17. I don't know the last. I mean,
that's crazy.
I would guess like Buddy Hield maybe. I don't even know. Did Keegan take 17 threes when he hit 12? I don't even think he did. I really don't know if he did. So I just think 17 is too many. I know two of those came in the very last minute, but it feels like De'Aaron needs to try and attack the rim a lot more.
Coming up next, we say goodbye to Sabonis' double-double streak. We also get into some blame pies. Okay. Styles and Watkins and Roundtable, Sactown Sports. Joined by the best of Sactown Sports, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes, for our roundtable. Fellas, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good. I'm having time of my life. Excited to be on the Kings roundtable.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Brendan.
Alan.
after a performance like last night, I found myself very confused, very conflicted, because ultimately, I know that this team isn't good enough to truly make noise. So it's not the fact that they're losing, it's how they're losing and how they keep losing the same way. Can you explain what is happening?
The same way. What stands out to you as being the same?
Just like blowing leads.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of this season has been the defensive inconsistencies, and that's just going to make you an inconsistent team on a quarter-to-quarter basis, really. But we've seen some instances, specifically really since Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter went down, or really post-All-Star break, kind of these teams that pack the paint, and all of a sudden, Sacramento's offense really struggles. In that second half, they couldn't get anything going. Their offensive flow was just totally ruined. You get a little bit of hero ball going, or the ball gets kicked out, and there's a Harrison Barnes corner, or like wing three that really stands out to me, is he didn't take it, and then Mike Brown pulls him out. You know, so I think that teams really defensively are packing the paint against the Kings, and it seems to be working a lot. It started Houston, Miami, OKC, Orlando. There's a lot of them at this point.
But go into more depth about the packing the paint, because if I hear that and I'm driving around right now listening to the fastest growing show in Sacramento, I'm thinking, wouldn't packing the paint make it easier for a three-point shooting team? How is one thing not helping the other?
I think that, you know, there's the hitting the paint is what creates the threes, mm-hmm. I guess is what I would say. And I think a lot of times players are getting one or two dribbles too deep, or yesterday in that second half, 9 turnovers for 11 OKC points. And a lot of it is, you know, you're not playing off 2 feet, or you're getting the air and trying to make a jump pass. And Tyrese Haliburton's not on the team anymore. Most players do not like jump passes, most coaches. So I think that it's the creating the threes for others, and they don't have very many guys that can do that right now. You know, who's going to just go get into the paint and not only be looking to kick? Because sure, packing the paint, that's probably going to be the outcome, but you still need to be a threat to score. And it's really De'Aaron Fox. And after that, like, even Domantas Sabonis is a little bit of a question mark.
Davion tried, and he got that thing tossed. Well, by Chet Holmgren.
Going at Chet? I mean, yeah, but he, as far as personnel the Kings have that can get into the paint and be a disruptor down there and kind of cause defenses to swarm, like, it's really De'Aaron Fox, and I guess you can call half of Davion Mitchell, who we've seen him go with the right hand to the left side. He doesn't have much of a left hand, you know, yet. Tyreke Evans, maybe, if you will, throwback. But I think Malik Monk's loss, like, really did kind of weighing heavily lately, and I don't want to sit here and say that Malik Monk being in the lineup last night gives the Kings the win. But I feel like when you look at the Kings, who there was a possession, I can't remember if it was in the third quarter or fourth quarter, where I think they got 4 offensive rebounds and they missed 4 or 5 threes.
I almost threw my phone at TV.
It's like
it was so bad.
You got to switch things up a little bit. Like, maybe attack one time. But, you know, pump fake and go attack the paint. The paint wasn't working, though. I mean, I have right here, they shot, 42% at the rim last night, which is a very low percentage for at the rim. 7 of 18 around the basket. That's 38%. So, like, they really have just not been an efficient team in the paint. Domantas Sabonis going through a tough stretch, obviously, on offense. The Kings really have not been able to run through him from a scoring aspect. But I do think when you have Malik Monk on the sideline, that's just your other, you know, bulldog that can get in there and go into the paint, go in the basket, draw fouls, get to the line, which the Kings were not doing a very good job of getting to the line, which may or may not have been in their control. But I think that his loss is looming large right now.
I think it's about the second side action, right? The initial De'Aaron getting into the paint, kicking out to Keegan Murray, and then does the momentum kind of stop there if he doesn't take a shot, you know, compared to it getting kicked out to Domantas Sabonis on the other side of the floor, and he gets to run his two-man game with the two guys he's most comfortable with, Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk, you know, or that gets kicked out to Malik. He gets to pump and either shoot or make a play from there. I think it's kind of like the second side action, where if you don't get Harrison Barnes aggressive searching for free throws, or, you know, who else are you going to rely on? It drives me insane that Keon Ellis is more aggressive than some of these other guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really crazy. And I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out too, because, you know, it's weird because this team has 3-point shooters. And I feel like the thing that's going wrong most in the second half is just they're missing shot. Like, I think they had a lot of open looks yesterday that they're just not making. And I feel like that's been the story all year. If I remember correctly, at the beginning of the year, we were reading off numbers like the Kings' open looks were hitting like 36-37%, where teams are normally hitting 40, 41, maybe 39 if you're having a bad year. And so I don't know what to do with that. We were just talking about this before you guys got on here. Like, how much of this is just the Kings have hit their ceiling with this group of guys, and that's what it is. That's why you see the second half not be a different story, because they just kind of are who they are, and they don't really have much else to go off of, to your point of who's going to drive. Like, yes, of course, take less threes, drive. Who's driving?
Nobody.
I mean, besides, the 17 threes is too much.
And I feel like it is frustrating to kind of sit here and say they're just not making open shots. Like, that's a very frustrating sentence. But Mike Brown has even said it, I think, to the media. Like, I can't make the ball go in. Like, I can do everything I can to game plan, and maybe the game plan isn't perfect. I know there's a lot of questions around that, too. But
he said that?
What, that he can't make the ball go in? Yeah. I believe he said it multiple times.
He said that before.
But it's very true, though. These guys are getting open looks. These are good three-point shooters. Harrison Barnes getting open looks. Harrison Barnes, over his past 11 games, is shooting 26% from three on 4.1 attempts per game. Hmm. But that's a guy who is, at the time, leading the team in three-point field goal percentage. He was shooting 39% before that. So you're getting guys like that missing looks. Keegan Murray, you know, has been sporadic. Kevin Huerter is out for the season. Malik Monk, who has been above average three-point shooter this year. Again, aside from the fact that he can get into the paint, he's been a good three-point shooter for them more times than not. He's out. So you're having to rely on guys like Keon Ellis, who's been playing well, career night last night. Davion Mitchell, who's having a career run from three-point land. And De'Aaron Fox, who's having the best year of his career from three-point land. So you're relying on, really, three guys who you did not expect to be leading the team in three-point shooting. Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray, and Harrison Barnes have kind of taken like a back seat lately to those three.
But what it sounds like to me, and they start out hot, and then things cool off. Just I need people that aren't afraid of the moment. I need people that aren't afraid of the moment. And I'm not looking at Keon to not be afraid of the moment. If he is, that's great. I'm not really looking at Davion to not be afraid of the moment. If he is, that's great. I'm looking at De'Aaron, and I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying when you miss shots, and we went back between somebody, a texter was clutch versus closer. We were doing a semantics conversation, but it's De'Aaron, it's Sabonis. You are putting Harrison Barnes in that conversation, but what do you actually expect from him? And last but not least, it's Keegan. And when you have two guys that you can truly depend on a team, guys, I'm going to put it to you like this. They're not good enough, right? I don't think they were good enough with Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk. That's why it makes this whole thing tough, because now we're looking at this team when they get off to these hot starts, but we didn't have them winning the whole thing with Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. That's why they're fighting to stay out of 9-10 now. If they were so good with Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, they would have been 3-4, now fighting 5-6-7. So they've been tricking all season. So it's tough to say and be upset at this current lineup when ultimately it was never there to begin with.
Yeah, they definitely have their flaws, and there's things you can point at in this game. And to your point, Sacramento has not been – they've been a – above average team all year. Mm-hmm. And that's probably right about the right label in my mind. Yeah. OKC has been a really, really good team all year long. And I know these games mean a crazy amount. I mean, every game does, really. They're all worth the same. But right now, it all feels like so much more with what Frankie's talking about there and on Sacramento's and the race that they're in. So I do think they've had these flaws. I can't help but look at Sabonis a little bit in this matchup.
Let's get into Sabonis when we return. Is it fatigue? Also, a streak comes to an end. I know Chris Watkins has thoughts about
it.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
This is Malik Monk via Hoops Hype. Quote, "I'm comfortable in Sacramento," Monk told Hoops Hype. "I'd love to play here again for sure. I've been here for 2 years and made friends with everyone, including the training staff and front office. I'd love to be back here."
Great.
Great.
How much money does he want to make?
That's the question.
I think he'll be back.
You think he will?
I still think he'll be back.
What percentage are we talking?
I'm still at 70%.
Okay, I think we did this before.
Mm-hmm. I'm holding strong at 70%. I'm not selling.
All right.
I think that's about right. He's important, guys.
Well, clearly.
I know we know this, but Chris was just going through two guards on the market. Like, we're talking D'Lo, we're talking DeRozan, Klay Thompson. You know, like, Malik is in this tier.
But is what makes him valuable the fact that he is a sixth man, or is this his play style? Because if he goes to the table this summer and says, hey, Monty, Vivek, Mike, I want to start. If I can be a starting two guard for this team, I'll sign today. Does that change the way that the Kings should approach this deal and the way that this fit works? Because I feel like if that's what it's contingent on, I feel like you say, here, sign right here, sir. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't think they can afford, no pun intended, to let Malik walk. If he's whatever he wants, besides the amount of money that they can't exceed, give it to him. I mean, what are we talking about here? He already plays starter minutes, right? The question is, who else are you going out and getting, and what does that roster look like? Because that's a Mike Brown question versus a Monty McNair Vivek solution that I cannot wait to break down when we get to it in the summer. Sabonis had some things to say about Malik Monk and just talked about how important he was. He also ended his double-double streak last night.
Wow.
Guys, how are we feeling? It was a good run.
Tough.
61 straight. Beautiful thing.
It was fun. It's fun to see, like, the reactions every day, and, like, people are so toxic with it. But it is, in all seriousness, it was really, like, a incredible thing that I think we'll look back on in, like, 15 years and see he really just had 61 straight double-doubles, and he's just with a bunch of guys that played, like, in the 50s and 60s, the Wilt Chamberlains and on down the list. So I think it's like, I'm laughing, but it's a bummer it's over, but also, like, I think it's something to be proud of for Sabonis and the Kings. And now maybe, I wouldn't say it's a distraction, but one less thing to focus on as we go into a just huge couple of games here, that's going to be just completely out of anyone's minds. No one's going to be looking at the box score in the third quarter down by 8 and say, well, Sabonis is 9 rebounds and 10 points. Like, that's no longer a thing anymore.
Yeah. I feel like at this point, like, this is what we're going to remember this season for. Like, when we look back at it, it's going to be, oh, that was the season Sabonis had the 61 double-doubles, and...
Is that the number one right now, you think? Is that the most memorable part of the season so far?
That's a great question.
I think it might be.
I mean, it could be certain people's last year in Sacramento.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
No, you're not wrong at all. You could say that this is kind of a turning point for these guys, but ultimately, I think you're going to look at the record and you're probably going to say, oh, okay, that was a pretty forgettable season. Oh, that was maybe, yes, the last year of player X, maybe also of player Y. Who knows? Maybe even Z. But I think that the thing that you're really going to think about is this is the year that Sabonis pretty much backpacked this Kings team through the regular season.
Yeah, it's either that or depending on how we move forward. I think that storyline is number one, and then a couple notches down would, besides leaving, would be Keon Ellis
or De'Aaron's three,
or just Malik getting hurt. Yeah. I would probably say the second thing you're going to say is, oh, yeah, and then Malik got hurt the last 10 games, and what happened?
Well, you know what the real answer is? Whatever happens is playoffs.
Yeah, the play-in. I mean,
or play-in.
A heartbreaking play-in loss would be memorable, or a triumphant win where they go to the first round, maybe. Sure. I mean, if that's what they have to hang their hat on, I think winning a 7-8 game against the Pelicans or the Suns or whoever would be like, that might be, and I'm not saying that's something that people should be proud of and like, woo, let's get the play-in t-shirts out. Like, let's celebrate the year, but like
Patrick Beverley.
You know what? The Kings, I have to tip my captain last year. They did not have to do any of that. Like, they could have been ridiculous last year and had, you know, we could have De'Aaron Fox standing on the
De'Aaron's too cool for that.
He had already moved on to the next game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that'd be like a Malik thing to be on the scorer's table, just for sure, losing his mind. No, last year was just business as usual. But RIP to the streak. And I know we're going to probably dive into some Sabonis talk here. And I was looking at his first 71 games. We know what he can do rebounding the basketball and passing it. But scoring, first 70 games of this year, Domantas Sabonis was scoring 20 points per game on 61% shooting from the field. The last 9 games, he is down 5 points. He's down to 14.9 points on 46% shooting. That's 16% less than where he was at. So I'm not sure what you guys are seeing from him. I guess maybe we just open up there. But he definitely has seemed a little more passive. The field goal attempts are down. He's been, I think he's looking for his teammates, obviously. He's trying to facilitate the basketball. But I feel like it is kind of an untimely stretch where he's really struggling because we know the microscope was going to be on him around this time of the year. Do you have faith that he'll be able to come out of his stretch and either be a difference maker in the paint or just be a guy that can go out there and get the Kings 20-plus a night?
I think the packing the paint thing like affects him more than De'Aaron. Mm-hmm. I think that De'Aaron can kind of escape from some of it in a way with his shiftiness and speed. And Domas, you try to get him back to the basket. Like Chet Holmgren, you look at that matchup, Domas versus Chet, and it's like both of these guys should really have an advantage on the other offensively. Mm-hmm. And in previous matchups, Domas had kind of done whatever he wanted against Chet, gone through him and just failing success in that way. And, you know, I think he had 5 turnovers in that game yesterday. It's a lot harder for him when he catches the ball down low to, and he's also not a guy that makes his move quick. You know, he usually is taking a couple dribbles, maybe a pump fake,
maybe
or in an offensive rebound.
Shoulder fakes.
Yeah. Who knows how many pivots. He'll probably miss the first one, get the second, put it back. So he's not making his move quick. When those other guys come, I think it really can affect him. And that's not an excuse. I do think he needs to be better. You're getting paid damn near max money to be an offensive player.
All-NBA player.
And I think, by the way, that his streak that he just went on is going to award him all NBA. And we'll he's going to make, I think it's $500K or $1 million or something this year
for making that.
I think he will. I was reading some athletic thing earlier and they thought he was a lock.
He'll get a vote.
I think
we'll see.
Do you think it could be, not that it's an excuse, but you look at a lot of the guys around the league and how they got breaks. They got a night off here. They got a night off there. And even when they're playing, you can take a night off even while playing. Whether it's a good excuse or not, do you think some of this is fatigue from just Sabonis doing so much throughout the whole season? Again, not a good excuse, but it's not as if he forgot moves or anything like that. But he, you know, and the turnovers were already always there. But I am wondering if it's, you know, a team that did not have the luxury in sitting players, right? Is sitting their stars, I should say, because they just were all, they were tricking off games and just couldn't afford to. Is it just coming back to bite him now and this guy is just a little burnt out?
I don't know. I don't really see it that way. I'm looking at like opposing defenses. They're really swarming him. Like he's getting double and triple teamed sometimes when he gets that ball on the block. Because first of all, they want to either – I mean, he's definitely susceptible to turning the ball over. I think he had 5 or 6 last night. He sometimes gets passes picked off. They're trying to put pressure on him because he is like the hub. He is the Kings' hub of offense. Whether he's distributing or putting his head down and going into the paint, the ball usually goes through him when De'Aaron Fox isn't being, you know, closing style De'Aaron Fox. And when those teams are double and triple teaming him, you're seeing pressure go on those other guys in the perimeter. And we're seeing those shots not fall. So I'm not really seeing him winded. I just feel like he's not someone that really has that skill set to, you know, be an isolation scorer really in the post. He really has not proven to be that kind of like DeMarcus Cousins type post player the Kings used to have where you dump it down to him and he goes to work. So I'm not seeing it that way, but you know, you guys might.
I just feel like, I mean, I'm looking at it here, 10 of his last 12 games, he's finished under 20 points. I just feel like, to kind of piggyback off what you said, I mean, I think he's not really an isolation scorer. And, you know, he's, to take a book out of Allen's, or a page out of Allen's book, like, I don't know what kind of bag Sabonis has. Like, if he's going to be ISO'd up, if he doesn't have a face-up game, he doesn't have a mid-range game, you talk about his post moves, like, it's a lot of up and unders, a lot of pretty much relying on guys to bite on your fakes. And at some point you play 79 games in a season, tape's going to be out on you and coaches are going to scream just like they do with DeMar DeRozan. Don't jump, stay planted. And he can't really get around you unless he's going to put his shoulder in your chest.
And his best skill is making his teammates better, which he is elite at. And that's why he gets paid what he does. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things he does, right? But that I think is his best offensive skill. And that looks a lot better when you're taking a good player and making them great than when you're taking a, you know, average player and making them good. So I think he is probably the most reliant guy, definitely on the team, one of the most in the NBA on what his surrounding pieces look like.
I think this is a scary conversation because we're getting dangerously close to the Kevin O'Connors of the world and people that say he is built for the regular season. And I think that there is a more respectful way to say it, but I do feel like We're getting close. We're getting close.
It's not the postseason yet.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But
we will see.
It feels like we're getting close. 916-339-1140. What's up, Bobby? You are on with the Insiders and Stiles and Watkins.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to mention on this Sabonis thing. I think nobody really has mentioned the fact that with Malik out, he takes away a lot of Domas' scoring, because when Malik comes in, at when Fox leaves in that 5-minute mark, 6-minute mark, he gets a lot of pocket passes and rolling to the rim, and he gets a lot of his points that way. I think that's the difference in the last 9-10 games, is without Malik, Domas isn't getting those free points.
Yeah.
That's a great call.
That's a good point, Bobby. Yeah, and we know what Malik – the two-man game is outstanding. Malik is one of the highest rated, and so is Domas. You take that away, and there's no real good replacement. Well, De'Aaron does a lot of different things.
So. Well, he's right, because De'Aaron's coming off the floor usually early in the first quarter, and Malik Monk usually gets those minutes, and they do hook up a lot. Usually early in games, I feel like that's been a duo, because Malik Monk really is a guy that, you know, is a – I'm not going to say a two-man game merchant as far as the assists go, but no, he loves the pick and roll. He loves the pick and roll. He connected with JaVale McGee early in the year. He's even found Alex Len in some stretches, and obviously with Sabonis. So I do feel like that's a good point, that the offense at Malik Monk isn't just, you know, to himself. He really did a good job of creating offense for others, and I feel like connecting with the big men, whether it be Sabonis, Len, and down the line, he really was, you know, a difference maker on that end too.
Maybe that's why Domas was like, I need to go public. We need Malik back.
Yeah, we need Malik back. We need him back bad. Coming up next, continuing the conversation, what can the Kings do to turn this thing around as they have two huge games coming up? Styles and Watkins and the Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders when we get back.